Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 701. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, doing the usual kind of NXT side eye while recording this show for future podcast reasons. And, you know, it just kind of goes to show you, whenever we would record these things, unless we recorded them after literally every show, it would be a near impossible task to do this with any more frequency, because there is wrestling on pretty much all the time. And when you get a supersized SmackDown, a supersized Rampage, sort of. Because didn't they do part of that on YouTube? Or was that Dynamite that went on? Okay.
No, that was Rampage.
Okay, so we got bonus YouTube Rampage. And... oh, man. I suppose we got Wednesday off of wrestling because of, I'm thinking it's hockey, or was it baseball?
It's hockey.
Okie dokie. So, hockey's bumping it for a couple of weeks here. We end up pushing Dynamite past Rampage, which is kind of strange because you're usually used to, you know, Dynamite... giving the hype for Rampage, and it was a little bit of the other way around this week, and will be next week. So it's kind of, do you think that affected the product at all for them?
Yeah, it absolutely did. There was a lack of life to that off night Dynamite. I did not really get into anything on that show.
Yeah, it was kind of curious. There wasn't a whole lot. Yeah, it just didn't seem like a whole lot was going on. You know, they filled the time. I feel like they kind of moved some stuff along, but it was more of a drag than an enjoying thing. Like, is it fair to say that Dante Martin's selling of are they calling it the they're not giving it a name, the Black Mass, the spinning heel kick that Malakai Black gives?
I don't think they're giving it a name. No, I'm trying to think there.
Yeah, because at least the review that I'm reading does not have an actual name, so I'm going to assume nothing's been said on TV. But yeah, spinning heel kick, that sell by Dante Martin, probably one of the better things this weekend.
Yeah, I that was a great sell.
Oh, man. But I guess that's also where we're at, though, too. Like, it could be said for both these characters that they're just treading water right now. Dante Martin's kind of had a couple of high-profile... I'm not going to say that he really, really pushed Black, but he did at least give him more of a match than some might have expected. So he keeps on getting the almost wins. But yeah, Malakai Black hasn't gotten to really do a whole lot, and I guess that kind of feeds into that weird... the Cody Rhodes stuff is just continuing to be baffling to me. That video this week was truly confounding. I'm not quite sure what training process Arn Anderson was going through, but it was very Mr. Miyagi like in not having a good explanation.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with Cody, because they're addressing the wrong problems with Cody. I don't think anyone doesn't think that Cody Now, isn't a good wrestler or isn't aggressive enough in the ring? It's the problems are all are the entire presentation outside of the ring that have developed, and his, you know, putting himself in a cocoon with his friends, separate from everyone else, as we've talked about ad nauseum. Yeah, that. I hope they don't think the last 2 or 3 weeks worth of vignettes and Arn putting a finger gun motion into Cody's face is going to lead to Cody getting cheered this time against Malakai Black on Saturday night.
Yeah, and it is one of those ones, just like I don't, it doesn't help anyone. You know, when you've lost the first two, like, if Rhodes wins, it's just like, I guess he kind of overcame him, but it's still just like, dude, you kind of needed too many chances. Like, it's one thing going into a rubber match. Well, yeah, it's, you can't call it a rubber match because there hasn't been one win apiece.
No, there absolutely has not. Yeah, I don't. Cody winning this match will solve no problems. In fact, it will probably make it worse if they insist on pushing Cody as a continue to push Cody as a babyface. Maybe if we get a double turn out of this, they can make it work. But I like Malakai Black as a heel. I don't really want him to be a spooky babyface. I don't think that really works for what AEW is going for at all. He hasn't been around long enough to pull that off either. So, yeah, I don't. Yeah, beating Cody again really doesn't do him any favors.
Oh, yeah.
Cody needs to turn heel badly. But I don't even. I don't even know if that's going to address the core issues with Cody. I really don't.
Yeah.
And the guy has.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
The
guy has gone away for weeks and weeks at a time. He's done that twice now. Now, granted, the last time was a year ago, but during the Rhodey Lee feud, and he was still getting cheered at that point. But, you know, it's not like absence made the heart grow fonder after he did the overdone thing where he was going to put his boots in the ring and he was considering retirement because he lost one match. Like, people see what Cody's doing now. You know, there was some charm to it when AEW first started, but now it's obvious. Cody just wants to recreate these big moments in wrestling history, many of which involved his own father, and he wants to surround himself with his friends and family and have no effect on the rest of the show. And people see that, you know, this is the Cody, you know, ego trip segment of the show.
I agree with you. Like, they're not gonna, I don't think the core issue is going to be addressed. Like, it's continued to be one of those things where yeah, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks were the problem early on. And Cody Rhodes has now had that mantle for quite some time in the EVPs. Yeah. Like, I might not always like the presentation for Kenny Omega, but I feel like they've kind of cut out the shenanigans for the most part recently. And I think that's helped a lot in some of the more goofiness between him and Don Callis has been tamped down in the last month or so. So yeah, it's kind of strange that Cody, well, not strange, because we just kind of know what's going on. Like you said, like, it's when it's out there publicly on air that that's what's happening. Like, it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't mind being behind the curtain, but when you tell me the script ahead of time, like, it's really bad. Like, there's at least some suspension of disbelief if if you don't know what's already coming. So that kind of took up some time there on, Dynamite there. The Dan Lambert stuff, with Chris Jericho, I about fell over laughing, because I saw highlights on YouTube before actually watching, the show. And it was like, the comment under the clip was, oh, I really loved how Paige Jericho owned, Chris Jericho owned Paige Van Zandt. And then I listened to the audio and I'm like, I'm confused.
All he did was pull a page out of his Saul Stephanie McMahon playbook from 2001.
That's why I was
20 years ago.
I was just like, huh? Yeah, it's the trash bag hoe for 2021.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily play very well in 2021, and we don't know. Paige Van Zandt is just there. You know, we really, if you're just a wrestling fan, what do you really know about Paige Van Zandt?
Oh, not much, I would imagine. Like, I mean, because she, we've kind of discussed, like, her MMA career has never gone the way that it was supposed to. Like, she was kind of child prodigy type of fighter, and then probably got tossed into stuff way too early, and it probably caused long term problems. Like, she's only kind of big because of early hype in MMA, so there wouldn't be any reason for the casual fans to know who she is, really, or to care that she's being insulted.
Yeah, no, not a care. Some people will think, once again, it's juvenile, it's childish. Maybe they throw her on the word misogynistic, who knows? It's just like, and then this person doesn't really do anything, hasn't been around, we don't really hear her talk, or know where she comes from. Yeah, this whole thing with the Inner Circle versus American Top Team, man, I have absolutely no interest in it at all. But at least it's only one segment on each show.
Oh.
I've been down on the Inner Circle for Jericho and the Inner Circle. Jericho needs to go away for a while. He didn't need to retire in the MJF match, but he still needed to go away for a while, I think.
Well, it's kind of crazy. Like, isn't this the longest he's been in wrestling since, like, 2014 or something crazy like that? Because, like, he was never full-time with the WWE there at the end. Like, he'd always take off, to go on tour for Fozzy and things of that nature. Like, he's probably not wrestled this many consecutive years in quite a while at this point. Like, that actually is one of those ones I'm going to pull up Wikipedia and kind of look that one up in the meantime. But, I'm with you. Like, Jericho needs to take a break. Like, he has definitely been... I think that's been one of the things that had kept him fresh for so long.
Yeah, it definitely does. And, you know, Hager, at least in some ways, Hager can fit in here because at least he can match up with, like, the Dos Santoses of the world. But again, if you're just a wrestling fan, who the hell is this bald guy? Why is he here? Why is he here too? Why are any of these people here? Why is Dan Lambert with Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky? Because Scorpio Sky did one amateur MMA fight, and Ethan Page took karate classes at the YMCA. I know they have higher. I know he tuned a high belt and all that, but it's just like. You know, and Dan Lambert's is on TV doing his old you know, basically doing Jim Cornette. And he's supposed to be this, like, mega rich guy, and then but he dresses like a damn slob on TV, you know. It just...
it's... When I saw your comment and then saw the segment later, and I was just like, I guess I don't expect that kind of guy to get dressed up. You know, like, a polo seems like an appropriate level of dressed up in his world, you know?
Well, if he's a coach, why can't he wear, like, a tracksuit or something, you know? I guess Cody has the has the copyright on tracksuits in AEW. I'm sorry, but yeah, no, it's just I mean, he just looks like a suburban dad getting ready to to work the grill. Nothing about any of this works for me. Unfortunately, they're probably going to take it to the pay per view, which. I guess one crappy match is fine.
Well, and I guess that's going to be the crazy thing. Like, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page need that win way more than Chris Jericho and whoever else is going to team with him at the pay-per-view. And those two guys are going to be back in the same position that they've been in with their other gimmicks. Like, they're going to lose, like, right away in a high-profile match.
Yeah. I mean, the somewhat interesting part is that they want to have a 10-man tag, and they've established that Dos Santos will wrestle, but, you know, who else are they going to get? I don't think it would be Masvidal, because he's got a fight coming up, so I don't... He's probably been more physically involved than Dana White and a bunch of people in the UFC would prefer already. But even then, once again, not a big MMA guy, so I don't, you know, unless they're going to get Conor McGregor and Brock Lesnar to show up, which we already know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, well,
I don't really care.
Yeah, one of them for sure is not going to happen. The other one is far-fetched as about humanly possible. So, I don't know. To me, not a whole lot to say about FTR beating the Lucha Brothers for the AAA Tag Team Championships. Looks like they're going to head down to Mexico to maybe wrestle a match or two.
Looks like that's most likely going to happen. Yeah, no, I mean, FTR, Lucha Brothers and FTR, yeah. Yeah, the first match was gimmicky and more of an angle, but let them cook on pay-per-view. Yeah, they could have a very good match.
Yeah. FTR hasn't really gotten a whole lot of really solid in-ring stuff. Like, I feel like I say that about a lot of the tag teams in AEW. Like, Santana and Ortiz still haven't really been... having some good feuds with other teams. Like, they've kind of fought with FTR, but still seems a little lackluster. I guess that'll be kind of interesting. So yeah, at least they're doing something for FTR to kind of move them, you know, or at least keep them in the eye. The people from the Pinnacle have done a better job of staying on TV than their counterparts there, because MJF is getting ready to take on Darby Allin here, and you know, that's a pretty big name to be going against, obviously.
No, that's good. I mean. Actually, I think that scene in the stairwell was probably the first time in, like, maybe 2 or 3 months that MJF has interacted with FTR at all, I believe.
Oh. They have not really been together, but they have at least gotten to be on TV, because it does kind of seem like they've gone back to, FTR is doing their thing, Wardlow and MJF are doing their thing, and who else was in the group? I can't
remember. Sean Spears.
Yeah, Sean Spears gone back to being invisible. So yeah, going back to their regular roles. So, not a whole lot of interactions between those folks, but that's whatever. Like, I think they overdo it on the groups occasionally. So I don't care if they don't really have to show allegiance at all times. Because, yeah, Wardlow and MJF were able to handle their business there without much of a problem this week.
Well, handle their business. They got handled pretty handily by a 65-year-old man, actually.
Oh, I guess they did. But
no, I mean, MJF interacting with Darby and Sting is good. It'll produce some good television.
And for whatever reason, we've got Sting every all the time. I don't know why. Not much to say about Adam Cole and the Young Bucks taking on the Dark Order. It was a fun match. It was a crazy spot fest. But, you know, that's not going to leave a lasting impression.
No, it was a fun match. But yeah, you're right. Nothing really lasting. Just to give Cole and the Bucks a win over, you know, they didn't really play it up, Hangman Page's friends. But no, it was a fine match.
And, you invoked his name. I guess that is kind of, to me, the best part of this show was the Hangman Page interview.
Oh, yeah. He really knocked it out of the park with his promo about cowboy shit and, you know, explaining his journeys since the beginning of AEW, how he is, his ups and downs, and coming back from fighting back from adversity. I don't, still playing into, you know, that part of him that's struggling a bit by saying he can't guarantee a win at full gear, but he'll give it everything he's got. Yeah, no, this is what the first 2 years of AEW has been building to. And they better follow through. That's all I gotta say. I put it out there. He doesn't win this title, I'll stop watching the damn show. I'll be done with AEW.
That would be one of those Roman Reigns level incompetencies. You know, as much as I praise Roman Reigns now, they really did not pull the trigger on him like 12 times in the WWE. It's just like, you've been building Paige for a similar amount of time. Like, it's time to do it. Especially after the most recent understandable absence. Kenny Omega has held on to that championship. Like, I don't... Like, has he defended it all that much?
He has. I mean, his last defense would have been All Out against Christian. But that was... That's gone on 2 months ago. Yeah. You know what? In the past, they have made a habit of the champion defending the belt on Dynamite like every 4 weeks or so. But since All Out, they haven't really done it. I mean, it's not like Omega has had his televised title defenses, but been less than Moxley certainly did. Moxley defended that title on TV a lot. And, you know, Jericho defended it on a pretty good amount of times, too, before he lost it to Moxley, so...
Yeah, it's I'm not gonna say that it's been a lackluster reign for Omega, but yeah, there have probably been less matches than one would have imagined in the the interim here.
Yeah, no. They've done other things with him. They've done more tag matches with him. The non-title, of course, the non-title title draw with Brian Danielson. Yeah, that was his most hefty in-ring since All Out. And this is, once again, this is the match they've been building to. Let's get it done. Let's do this.
Agreed.
It doesn't matter if everyone expects the title to change. That's not a bad thing. That is not a bad thing, Tony. That is not a bad thing. You know, and Tony Khan's been all over everywhere, especially Twitter. Somebody needs to take that guy's phone away at this point.
I'm not sure either. The Stunt Granny account doesn't follow him, which I guess I'll have to check. Or for some reason his tweets just don't come up when I'm scrolling through, which would be kind of funny.
Yeah, no, but he's just talking about how, you know, people leave, unlike WWE, people leave AEW shows happy, still wanting to watch wrestling again. It's like, okay, this is your chance to back that up, to leave people happy.
There is something to be said, though. I mean, if they've worked this thing for 2 years for Adam Page to come, I mean, they haven't always left happy, though, in between. But yes, again, I'm with you. Like, this really seems like the time for Adam Page. You know, and you are doing... Yes. You know, you're not practicing what you're preaching if you don't go for it with him in this moment.
No. Then you're WWE. Or you're TNA or you're WCW. You know, you build people up just to knock them back down again. And there's time and place to continue on the storyline and to make people wait just a little bit longer. This isn't one of those times.
Agreed. Bobby Fish, Brian Danielson, another fine match. Thought it was a little bit strange that Bobby Fish was in a main event, to be honest with you, but
yeah.
Again, good match, but yeah. I guess I didn't think Bobby Fish was a real challenge for Brian Danielson.
No, and that match being the main event is very emblematic of, you know, how they view these Saturday Dynamites. Let's just get through them and make, you know, for these weeks, make Rampage a little more of a priority. Yeah, Bobby Fish, fine wrestler. Just don't find him that interesting as a single.
Yeah, he's always worked for me best in a tag team situation. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to find out what he does moving forward here. You know, there's only... again, there's only so much room to push people.
Yeah, he's a weird signing too. It's just he's 44 years old and, you know, a lifelong tag team guy. It just I'm sure it's a favor to Cole or someone else who's friends with he's friends with, but it's just like, you got so much other talent here, that, and you're signing other people like Lee Moriarty. That's a great signing. Daniel Garcia, that's a good signing, but that's, you know, being focused on the future. That's not signing a 44-year-old guy who was best known for being a tag team guy in NXT.
Well, and even in ROH before that, you know, it's him and Kyle O'Reilly were mostly a tag team. In his time there, I know that O'Reilly did have some singles competition, but was also mainly in tag teams really for most of his ROH run. It's a weird one. You know, there isn't a. I've never felt like there was some untapped potential with him that, you know, ROH or the WWE was just missing. Like, he kind of is what he is at this point, and he's not bad, but it's also not, like, AEW isn't really lacking on veterans to help teach younger guys how to wrestle.
No, they're really not, yeah.
And, you know, that's the only thing you could really maybe roll with as far as Bobby Fish goes. It's just like, nah, you guys have enough of that kind of talent anyway, so why?
Yeah, and then following up, you know, having that Danielson, Fish match follow the Danielson-Suzuki match, there was just... There was just not going to be any comparison there. And yes, Minoru Suzuki is in his 50s, but he's Minoru fucking Suzuki. The rules are different for Minoru fucking Suzuki.
Yeah, a few people get a pass. He's one of them. You've got to be extra special.
Yeah.
And extra crazy. But that was, I'll tell you what, that Minoru Suzuki match, that was one that I did not end up watching. That was the YouTube one, correct?
Yeah, that was on YouTube. It's archived. It's there right now. It's there anytime you want to watch it. I highly recommend it. Absolutely tremendous, man.
We had the wife's niece with us the whole weekend, so there were a few things like Rampage.
Yeah.
I did not get to any of it. It was just like, okay, it's just,
I had no interest in this week's episode because because Punk match number 4 against Matt Sydal had no interest for me. And we've already gone over the Inner Circle American Top Team storyline. So yeah.
Okay.
I stuck with the last half hour of SmackDown and then watched the movie. So yeah. So neither of us actually watched Rampage this week. So I will watch this week with Britt Baker versus Anna Jay.
Yeah.
And Pac versus Andrade. For whatever that means.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a weird situation still with that whole vibe, but it should be a great match. I'll probably enjoy the hell out of it.
Yes, I will too.
I guess, you know, you kind of mentioned it.
I was just going to say, it's look.
Oh, go for it.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to transition the next thing.
It's just looking like Britt Baker's opponent at Full Gear will either be Anna Jay again, or they'll use that to transition to take Conti as the number one contender.
Yeah, I would imagine that that would make a great deal of sense. Britt Baker's kind of moved through opponents. Someone's going to get recycled. Like, I guess I don't see... Penelope Ford has picked up a couple of wins recently.
Yeah, but like, wait, she lost to Ruby. Wait, no, yeah, she lost to Ruby.
Did the other one?
Fry, that.
Did the bunny lose to her? Or did they both lose to Ruby?
They both lost to Ruby now.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Okie dokie. I was just thinking it was Bunny for some reason. But I guess I was trying to think of other women to put in the position.
The Penelope Ruby match is going to be this week. I think now. Oh. That's right. Okay.
Oh. Okay.
That's still coming. Okay. I messed up my timeline. Yes.
Okay. Then, it's like they don't really have a lot of people. Like, Hikaru Shida is someone that I guess you could recycle as an opponent, but she just lost her most recent time and got belted by Serena Deeb with a 50 match trophy.
With her own trophy.
So, I mean, she does not seem like a likely opponent for Britt Baker at the current moment.
No. It looks like they're going to go with Anna Jay or Tay Conti, which, you know, I think Tay Conti's, like, when the last time they showed the rankings is pretty high. They've put Jade Cargill and Thunder Rosa in their own feud. They have announced that they're gonna announce the brackets for the TBS tournament this coming week. I don't know if they're gonna do the tournament matches on the TNT show, or if they're actually gonna wait and do the tournament matches when they get to TBS in January. I'm still not clear on that. But yeah, so obviously they want to get back to Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker eventually. But it seems like they're really holding off on it.
They don't seem destined to be taking on each other right now either.
No.
But I would be highly interested in that rematch also. I guess I wouldn't be surprised. Anna Jay and or Tay Conti can take another L, I would assume. I don't see them being the one that ends up breaking the reign of Britt Baker.
Well, I'll be hoping for it either way. So don't ruin my don't ruin my hope there, Matt. Now.
That's my two cents, at least. I don't think that title change is happening. I would certainly enjoy a Tay Conti title run, and or I don't follow the Anna Jay on Instagram, so maybe I should give her a chance and go from there. But honestly, yes. Neither of them have gotten a whole lot of TV time.
No, they haven't, because AEW sticks to the one women's match a show formula. So, they've gotten a little more lately. Yeah, they got the match with the tag match with the Money and Penelope Ford during the New York shows, and one or the other has been wrestling on Dynamite or Rampage for pretty consistently in the last month, I would say.
Yeah, they've been doing a better job, but I still don't have a whole lot of, I guess I still don't have that much information on them. You know what I mean? From, like, a storyline perspective. Like, it's in some ways not good that I'm just going to be like, oh, I know her from Instagram. Like, that shouldn't be her AEW character, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you do have a point.
They could still use a little, the women could use a little more mic time. They have been, AEW has been getting better in general with giving them time, as you noted. So, hopefully it'll get there. they're progressing, and that's a positive thing. Like, that was definitely the biggest problem in the promotion, and I think they've at least kind of, you know, maybe not caught up to the WWE, but the ship is up and sailing in the correct direction now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess we can move on to WWE then. Supersized SmackDown, we still are getting a little brand swapping going on here because the Super or Crown Jewel event is in a couple of days. And, yeah, I don't know if they really take advantage of that as much on SmackDown simply because the Roman Reigns loves to chew up some scenery on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And he had a great the stuff with Brock Lesnar is just a lot of fun.
It really is. It really is a lot of fun. I wish it was building to a bigger show. You know, happening at a reasonable day and time. But I got nothing else going on this week. Got this Thursday afternoon, so I'll watch it. So I'll watch it live. But yeah, no, all the stuff they've done with Heyman has been very good. And you know, the big moment where Lesnar dropped that him and Heyman were talking earlier that day about the contract signing and. And you know, the look on Heyman's face, look on Roman Reigns' face. Yeah, this is great utilization of Paul's reputation for being a slimeball.
Yeah, I mean, it's really painted this whole storyline, honestly. Just because he's always been known that way, it's no matter what Heyman's done to try to appease the tribal chief, it's never enough because there's always a seed of doubt there, and it always messes with everyone. Brock Lesnar monkeying with Roman Reigns one more time before their matches is a lot of fun. That is one of those ones where it's just a content problem at this point. You know, the WWE isn't going to stop going to Saudi Arabia. They've actually done a kind of interesting thing, like, at least with some of these storyline matches for Crown Jewel have really felt put on. You know, this feels like a regular build for a regular pay-per-view. Like,
Exactly. Yes. I wasn't sure what you were going for there. I didn't realize you were speaking in the past tense at first.
Yeah. Well, this is to me, this is one of those few matches, and I'm just because like they've had big name attraction matches, you know, at this Crown Jewel event. But to me, this is one of the ones where they've just built it into the fabric of, you know, WWE TV, that they're going over there and it's happening over there. Like, it always felt like, you know, you got the specialty match with Bill Goldberg and Bobby Lashley. You know what I mean? Like, you know that Goldberg isn't sticking around all the time. He's here for a match. It's doing its purpose. You know, I understand why it's happened, but it's kind of there and gone. Like, whatever happens between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar has some repercussions, whether it's Lesnar taking the championship, you know, Paul Heyman maybe being up to some shenanigans in the match, one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know, there's kind of a lot of implications moving forward. Bill Goldberg winning and or losing his match. I'm assuming he's going to win, but it doesn't really hurt Bobby Lashley in the long run.
No, they can pretend that they can basically pretend that it didn't happen. But yes, no, you're exactly right. Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar has huge stakes for the future of WWE, and particularly SmackDown. You know, this whole women's title thing, the triple threat match, absolutely has huge ramifications on what's going to happen going forward on Raw and SmackDown and with Survivor Series, because we still have the situation where the Raw Women's Champion is going to SmackDown and the SmackDown Women's Champion is going to Raw.
And because are there competitors that are moving to the opposite brand in all the matches? Both of the matches?
I came to the conclusion that a large percentage of the people traveling, of the wrestlers traveling for this show, are now Raw people. Almost like they don't want to get caught with their pants down again when it comes to SmackDown.
Yeah, because what? Reigns is one of the few going.
Yeah, Reigns, Sasha still SmackDown.
Oh, yep.
Who else? Oh, Drew McIntyre is SmackDown, but once again,
it's not until after. He's technically not until after.
No.
Yeah, so.
That's not your problem. Now, the issue is getting these people to Kansas City, Missouri on Friday.
I really...
Without any standings.
I hope for their own good. I think the WWE did a really... For some reason, I'm feeling like when they've had to replace a bunch of people that they've had good shows. Oh, I'm thinking that one NXT show, I guess.
Yeah, the one where SmackDown became NXT because only Daniel Bryan and Kevin Owens didn't go on the SmackDown roster, didn't go. Because that was one of those ones where there was like, well, once again, because the way of doing these Saudi shows has been, you know, it's not all or not particularly canon, so you have these, you know, these novelty, nostalgia matches, or you bring everyone overseas and you do a gigantic battle royal. I think that was the cause of their problems at that one show, because everyone was over. I remember now. They advertised the largest battle royal in wrestling.
Yeah, because it was the 50 man battle. It was a Royal Rumble, the greatest Royal Rumble.
No. They did that before.
Oh.
Like the first time. They did a straight battle royal. I think on the one where everyone got held hostage. The fact that happened and they're still going back.
Oh, yeah. But I think your general point, though, is correct, that they are not sending as much SmackDown talent to this event as they have in the past. So, I do think that pretty much any of the SmackDown people that do go over are probably not going to be on SmackDown this week. I'm thinking they're getting a little bit of a bye week this week.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. Or they just try to rush them out, you know, separately, you know, ahead of everyone else. It's not as many. It won't be as much of a disaster this time. No.
But I guess I'm trying to remember what the two actual matches are for the women's championships for Crown Jewel.
There's only a SmackDown Women's Championship.
Uh, oh, uh, What's
Charlotte's not going on the trip.
Oh, when is Charlotte? Because isn't Charlotte defending her championship at some point?
She just did. The match with Bianca was her defending the championship. She has no advertised title defenses coming up.
Oh, why? Well, I was thinking for some reason I thought she still had a chance too to. Have the, but yeah, Becky and Bianca are both on, how do they, I guess the only, you know, I guess the solution is easy to give Sasha Banks the championship, and she's going to be on SmackDown, but I guess how do you get the Raw championship back to Raw, unless you're going to unify them?
That's a good question, and I hope they've asked themselves that question. I hope they've answered too, because I don't. Because once again, they did the literal swap of the titles with New Day and the Street Profits. That didn't exactly go over great with people, but at least we got a New Day versus Street Profits match at Survivor Series out of it. That was pretty damn good, and that never happened before, never happened again. May never happen again. If they do that with Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, that is not going to to go over well at all. I don't think anyone really wants to see Charlotte and Becky wrestle again. Even if it's been a couple of years since they've last wrestled, they still wrestled so much before that. It just doesn't feel like there's any new ground to go with there.
It would be really disingenuous of both of their characters to just swap titles. Like, you could see New Day and Street Profits being friendly about it. There is nothing in either Becky Lynch or Charlotte Flair's character that would be cooperative about this event. I wouldn't think. Like, you're giving away a championship you didn't lose, and I would think that that would be a general problem for them.
Yeah, I was surprised that Bianca didn't win the title on Monday. I don't know why you didn't just do that. I also don't know why you would give away Charlotte versus Bianca twice now on free TV either. I'm not going to complain about it. The match they had on Raw this week especially was really damn good. Well, one of Charlotte's best matches she's had in a pretty long time. So, crappy finish, of course, and they obviously ran out of time. You could see Bianca, when she was on the top rope before they did the Sunset Flip Powerbomb, you could see Bianca had gotten some news from either the referee or the timekeeper, and she showed the panic on her face. It was you don't see that very often. But, I mean, it can happen. I would imagine
that she's kind of, she's still pretty fresh to the situation, you know what I mean? And as much as wrestling in the main event of WrestleMania is one thing, they're not telling you, hey, by the way, you're running out of time during the main event of WrestleMania. You know, that's something that is kind of a uniquely TV perspective and might not be something that she's heard all that much when she's been in the ring, because she probably didn't have to worry about that in NXT either, you know?
Yeah, no, and those situations, you probably put the blame more on the referee than anybody else for not giving them their cue early enough.
Oh.
Not that I know that I've ever been in a ring, but I would imagine.
I would have to imagine you kind of have some sense of how much time you have left when intros are happening. But like you said, like, it was kind of a screwball ending anyway. I'm not sure that did anything to hurt the match quality at all, but it was something worth talking about. I guess I was thinking that Charlotte had one more defense. But if she does not, then yeah, it's a pretty strange situation that that she's gonna get put in, or they're gonna kind of cross pollinate until like you what is Survivor Series the next pay per view then? I guess that makes yeah. sense since November is coming up here. So yeah, that's that one's kind of interesting. Sticking with the ladies, and being interesting, I am a little surprised with the Doudrop Zelina Vega Queen's Crown Tournament Finals. Definitely, not that I felt like there were favorites, but this is to me a surprising final. How about you?
Yeah, it's a pretty surprising final. It's a very weird match. I think that the part of my brain that kind of knows how Vince McMahon and his inner circle's minds work thinks that they just think Queen Doudrop sounds funny.
I guess I was thinking, oh, well, Zelina Vega's the heel, and they love to have this as a heel gimmick.
Yeah, and they could go there, but it's also so weird because Charlotte already calls herself the queen. So it's like a weird thing of having someone else call themselves the queen. Granted, they did it a long time ago where they were King of the Rings, and Jerry the King Lawler would be a very derisive about it on commentary and, you know, feuding with Bret Hart over it and things of that nature. So there's things you could do, but this was definitely one of those ideas that sounded better on paper.
Yeah, they still haven't given either lady a whole lot. Zelina Vega is getting her character development through her rivalry with Carmella. Yeah.
No.
Well, her friendship with Carmella.
Carmella are feuding with Liv.
Oh,
friendship,
yeah.
But they're not really friends. They fought last week. Yeah, it's a weird deal. And, of course, the Liv Morgan-Carmella feud must continue on Monday Night Raw. Yay.
Yeah, yep. Not all of the problems has been solved on the in the women's roster. Oh man, but yeah, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't be surprised to see Doudrop definitely seems to be the one more getting a direct push in this situation. I would not be surprised to see her end up winning this. And, you know, I think that I've seen some of her other matches. I think that she can really wrestle. It was, even though, it was kind of a weird win that she had over Shayna Baszler, though. Is a little bit of a hole. It made some sense to have the finish that way. Because it made Baszler yeah. not look too weak. But yeah. Not exactly a resounding win to get into the finals of a tournament.
No, I don't know. But they can definitely go back to Doudrop and Shayna. No, wait, Shayna's going to SmackDown. That's right, they can't do that. I guess it didn't hurt Shayna.
No. Let's see what else we have. I guess since we've kind of gone Crown Jewel specific here, the only, I guess there are two other big matchups to talk about, honestly, because we can just skip over Mansoor and Mustafa Ali if that's agreeable to you.
That's agreeable to me.
And this one, maybe a little less interesting to me, Big E versus Drew McIntyre. As we've noted already, Drew, one of the few SmackDown guys who is going to be over there. Big E is a fresh Raw champion. I do not see a title change in the works for this one.
No, I don't. I don't. Yep, of course, it goes off the thing. They should have a good match.
Oh,
not in favor of them. I would say before, not in favor of them doing it like this. Not in favor of them sending Drew off SmackDown with this big of a loss when he's also had other losses hanging around his neck. But if they're not going with him versus Roman right away, they've got time as well. And you know, it's a good win for it can be a good win for Big E, absolutely. And Big E needs a big win if he's going to be facing Roman Reigns or still possibly Brock Lesnar in Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah. So that leaves Edge, Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell. They've done a good job of talking this one up. And
they've done a really great job
opinion.
Of this. This has been in many ways the best pure wrestling feud they've got going on, and anyway, maybe the best pure wrestling feud as far as a feud that had a beginning, a middle, an end. Both guys' motivations strong, both guys' promos strong. They've had two strong matches previously, and it's escalated to Hell in a Cell. It makes sense.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to sum things up. Anything else to talk about in this massive glut of wrestling that we got in the last few days?
Well, we talked about the Queen's Crown, but we didn't talk about the King of the Ring.
Oh, you know what? Why? Oh, it is here. Yeah, I skipped over that one as far as matches went. yeah, Finn Balor, Xavier Woods, King of the Ring finals.
It's an interesting final. Should be a very good match. Obviously, they've played up pretty big. Xavier Woods' lifelong dream of wanting to be King of the Ring. And they've also played up that Finn Balor isn't really up for the top foolery of one Xavier Woods. So we might be seeing a heel Finn Balor come to the surface, win or lose, coming out of Crown Jewel.
Yeah, that would be kind of interesting. Woods did partake in some tomfoolery, as you said, there, dressing up in the crown and the cape and wagging the scepter at one Mr. Balor this week. Yeah, the WWE could have done a little bit, because if they given much promo time to Woods, like actually on camera to explain the King of the Ring obsession, or has that been another one of those, hey, you've got to follow online to get our storyline that's on TV?
It's more of the follow online variety. You gotta listen to that New Day podcast to understand storylines.
did they actually record a new one this week? I didn't pay attention.
I have no idea. I don't really listen to WWE sponsored podcasts.
That's the only one that I listen to. So
yeah, I'm sure I'm missing out. I enjoy all three of those guys. Yes.
Yeah. But Big E has been big time and has not been able to fit that into his schedule as of recent. So I haven't really actually checked this week to see if this was new or just another repeat. I don't really care either way. If you're champ and you have extra shit to do, good on you. But yeah. This is another one where neither of these guys, well, Xavier Woods definitely not a heel. I guess we could get a heel Finn Balor, but he'd have to do something really underhanded in the match to come out of this to pull off a evil king gimmick, moving forward.
Yeah, no, I think they'll give it to you. I think they'll give Xavier Woods his moment. I think, and then the loss is the catalyst for Finn Balor's heel turn. More so than being actually, you know, having Finn Balor walk around dressed like a king.
Yeah, Xavier Woods for King. Let's make it happen. And I guess we'll find out soon enough. Bell Time Beer on my end of the podcast is from R. Shea Brewing in Akron, Ohio. Imperial Stout aged on Mexican Custapec coffee beans. Though I am not a coffee drinker, I do think that has brings a nice flavor to this Imperial Stout that is 9.25% ABV. It is a strong one, kids. I got this one from my brother-in-law, and I have actually been up at their brewery previously. Highly suggest very tasty beer up there, close to the old stomping grounds at Kent State. Akron, not terribly far away, 7 miles, if I'm not mistaken, between Kent and Akron. So it's a good place to visit if you happen to be running around Ohio. So that is the Bell Time Beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, or any number of purveyors of said podcasts. And have a good night, grandkids.
Later.